God. Y'all are much cuter in person than you are on the prayer list with just a name beside it. Amen. Right? Amen. Well, when you wake up, turn to Ezekiel. Amen. Ezekiel, who is just Ezekiel? Chapter 1. As we look tonight in Ezekiel, the theme of this book is judgment and glory. Judgment and glory. It has 48 chapters, 1,273 verses, 39,400 words, all inspired by God, preserved forever, word for word, in our King James Bible. And listen to this, it's a 9.8 grade level, so you want to pay close attention tonight. And as we look, the author of this book is Ezekiel. He wrote it in 6th century B.C. If you look in verse 3, the Jewish rabbis wanted to throw this book out of the canon. They said that Ezekiel didn't write it. Look at verse 3. The word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans, by the river Chebar, and the hand of the Lord was there upon him. Now I see why they don't like it. He's got God's word. And you'll find out somebody's got God's book, the religious crowd don't want to hear it. And as we look on down through here, we'll look at the key verse in just a few moments. It's in chapter 3, verse 17. But the outline of this book, the first 24 chapters, is the fall of Judah. And this is the prophecies prior to the fall. And then the foes of Judah in chapters 25 through 32. And then we see the future of Judah, which is deals with the restoration of Israel and things like that. If you look over in chapter 3, look at verse 17. This is the key verse. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. And he'll go on in chapter 33 to express some things about a watchman. And Ezekiel was called to warn God's people. Every preacher that's worth his salt's been given that same call, and it's to sound the trumpet and to raise the alarm and lift up your voice like a trumpet and show God's people what God said, whether it be encouragement, whether it be warning or warning of coming judgment, whatever it may be, you got to preach what God says. If you look over at chapter 8 and just hitting a few of the things in Ezekiel tonight, chapter 8, look at verse 13. Every year the question is given to me. They say, are we having a sunrise service? I have never been a part of a sunrise service. And it has nothing to do with Jesus Christ, the reason I haven't. But it has everything to do with what Jesus said. Chapter 8, verse 13. He said also unto me, turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations that they do. Then he brought me up to the door of the gate of the Lord's house, which was towards the north. And behold, there sat women weeping for Tammuz, as the Greek Adonis. Then said he unto me, hast thou seen this, O son of man? Turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations than these. And he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house, and behold, at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men. See, it's just like any other sunrise service. They can't get them all up for it. Bunch of lazy people, see? It says, between the porch and altar, 25 with their backs toward the temple of the Lord, and their faces towards the east, and they worshiped the sun towards the east. What were they doing? They was having a little sunrise service. That's where this stuff comes from. We've Christianized it, so it makes it okay. No, it don't make it okay. And I'll cover why a little bit more about that. People say it's the sincerity involved. No, it's not the sincerity, it's the truth involved. And if you copy a pagan festival and you do it that way, I'm going to tell you something. We don't have a Halloween festival. We don't do that stuff. That stuff's of the devil. And where'd this stuff here come from? Same place. Don't be fooled by this crowd that says they've always did sunrise services. Oh, no, they hadn't. Two women showed up for that one. The first one. Disciples never did. If you look on down, since you like this, we're going to keep going. Chapter 22. Don't you feel good tonight? I see why they want to get rid of this stuff now. It's convicting. Chapter 22, if you look down at verse 25. The 20th century brought on us something that everybody ignored from the Bible. And it was these citywide crusades with every denomination involved in town. Verse 25 of Ezekiel 22, there is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof. Like a roaring lion, ravening the prey, they have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. What they all get together for? They get together in modern citywide crusades with all the denominations working together. And what were they doing? Devouring souls. Here's how it works. You'd have a Billy Sunday on the platform or a Billy Graham on the platform or somebody on the platform. And behind them would sit the Catholic priest, the Lutheran rector, the Presbyterian preacher over here, the Episcopal priest over here, the Southern Baptist preacher over here, and the Independent Baptist preacher over here. And when you come down to the altar during the invitation, they'd ask you what religious background you was, and whatever it was, that's where they sent you. I'm sorry, but if a Catholic comes down to get saved, I can't send him back to the Catholic Church. He'll wind up worse than he was. Listen, if somebody comes down and they're going to some cultist-like religion that has another gospel, I can't send them to them. That stuff's wrong. So what about the preachers doing? I can't help the preacher. I know this. I know that when people put on them things and do stuff like that, that's W-R-O-N-G with God. If there's right with God, there's wrong with God. That's wrong with God. If you look down to chapter 28, I see another reason they wanted to throw old Ezekiel's book out. It was inspired of God. He had the word of the Lord, and then it told on the devil. Now, what I'm fixing to give you here in a minute, you will not hear in 100 churches within 1,000 miles here, so you better pay close attention to this. He comes over here, and Ezekiel 28 is a rebuke of the king of Tyre, and he's likened unto Satan. He's a type of the devil and a type of the Antichrist prophetically. But if you look down in verse 13, it says in verse 13 about the devil, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Was he there? Yea, hath God said, you do whatever you want to. You become as gods. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, and the sapphire, and the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. What is that? That's like that mitre on that priest's breast. The workmanship of thy tabrets and thy pipes was prepared in thee the day that thou was created. Don't you underline thy tabrets and thy pipes? I'll show you something. Those are musical instruments. Every time the devil moved, music played. Is it no wonder tonight that modern versions leave out tabrets and pipes? You know why they do that? Here's a simple. So they can justify their so-called Christian music. The statements made by the modern apostate that says music is neutral and the words, it's the words that count. What is in this bottle? How do you know that? It says it on it, right? So if the vehicle to carry this water doesn't matter and all that matters, what actually it has in there, the words that only matters, then why did he bring me a vodka bottle up here filled with water? I mean, if it don't matter what it comes in. If you watch me walk out of the store tonight and I got a brown bottle in my hand and it's sticking up about that much in a paper sack covering that thing up, you ain't going to say, man, he's got that good old root beer. You're going to say, that old drunk, look at him. But when it comes to this stuff, all of a sudden they lose their mind. By the way, that crowd drank, so don't listen to a word they say about it, because they would do it. Listen, you know what the difference is in a Baptist and a Methodist? The Methodist will speak to you in the liquor store. Say amen right there. That's the difference in them. But I know right here, if they're taking out the tabrets and the pipes, if all the new versions are doing that, they're trying to not get you to look at what music they have so they can teach you what music is instead of the Bible. Isn't that something? Chapter 33. Speaking of music, chapter 33. I preached on this one time. And I tore a crowd slam up on this. And I'm tempted every time I go somewhere, if I don't know these quartets are singing, if they get to cutting up too bad, I always preach on this to start the message, just like the introduction to whatever I'm going to preach. It works with everything, especially Bible meetings. Listen to this, chapter 33, verse 31. And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people. See, somebody that's as my people is not God's people. They're just pretending. And they hear thy words. They hear them. But they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. Here's why. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song, of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not. You'll have more trouble out of musicians in a church than you will have out of sorry deacons, I'll tell you that. That's true. Listen, hey, that bunch will get mad. If you get to telling them it ain't okay for them to go out and wander all over the place singing, they'll hate you. Listen, they'll eat you up your face and cut you in your back. Why? Because as my people says, they fake. And I'll guarantee you that 3 out of every 4 of that outfit you run into is fake. 3 out of 4 of them easily. Here's why. They don't do what God says. God says be faithful to the local church. What do they do? Oh, we're God called us to be a quartet in a ministry to tell everybody through song about Jesus. Really? I've got a whole book here and the rest of my lifetime for you to show me that. I can find pastors, evangelists, missionaries, teachers, preachers. I can find soul winners. I can find witnesses. I can find prophets. I can find all that. But I ain't found a quartet yet God's called out of this whole book. But I did notice who was carrying the tabrets and the pipes. And I noticed he wanders about. Reckon they line up over there, they line up over here. They tell me the guy with the Indian on his helmet plays for the Redskins and the guy with the star plays on the Cowboys, so it's easy to tell them apart, ain't it? If you know what to look for. Chapter 34 and verse 1, and the word of the Lord came unto me saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Uh-oh, preacher, he's coming after you now. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Hey, preacher, you better watch out running around them groceries and restaurants all the time. You eat the fat and you clothe you with the wool. You kill them that are fed, but you feed not the flock. And he said, The disease have you not strengthened, neither have you healed that which was sick, neither have you bound up that which was broken. Does that sound familiar? That's what Jesus said in Isaiah. And in Luke chapter 4, he sat down in the synagogue and taught on this stuff. Have you bound up that which was broken, neither have you brought again that which was driven away, neither have you sought that which was lost. But with force and with cruelty have you ruled them. Hey, we didn't hunt out that which is lost. What was we out doing? Instead of spending 10 minutes soul winning, we spent 10 hours proselyting the guy down the road's members. Come on now. And they were scattered. And they were scattered. Because there is no shepherd. And they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field. That was you missionaries that come in, not the missionaries, by the way. Because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherd search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against the shepherds, and will require my flock at their hand, and, underline this, cause them to cease from feeding the flock. God's going to put you out of business. He said, Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves anymore, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. What God say? God said, I'm going to punch your clock and send you out the door for the last time. The thing about this, if you'll notice right here, he doesn't say how he's going to do it, but what if he just moves his protection back about 2 feet and lets them take it? Can you really handle the devil? Is your prayer life up to snuff where you can really handle the devil like that? I mean, that's a thing to think about, isn't it? Hey, listen. I see here, as we look at all this stuff, look back at chapter 3. Chapter 3. Chapter 3, this gave me more help one time in my life than I've ever needed. I mean, more than I've ever needed. Chapter 3, verse 1, Ezekiel's getting talked to here, said, Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest. Eat this roll and go speak unto the house of Israel. And he said, So I opened my mouth and he caused me to eat that roll. And this is the Word of God he's talking about. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. And he said unto me, Son of man, go get thee into the house of Israel and speak with my words unto them. And this is what helped me right here. Look at this. For thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech and of a hard language, but to the house of Israel. Now, if you write some stuff down, I'm going to give you something. I'll turn to these places, and you just listen very carefully. Matthew 13:57 is the first one. This is what Jesus said. Where was Ezekiel getting sent again? He wasn't getting sent to Mexico to have to learn Mexican. He wasn't getting sent to Puerto Rico to learn Puerto Rican, was he? He wasn't getting sent to Canada to learn Canadian, was he? Where was he going to? He wasn't sent up north to speak Yankee. He was getting sent right to his people in Judah. Right to him. He said, Ezekiel, I'm going to spare you language school. You're never going to have to attend one class. Not one class. Here's the result of that, what Jesus says over here. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 57, you'll write these down beside Ezekiel 3 next time you come by him. Listen to this. It says, and they were offended in him. This is they offended at Jesus now. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and his own house. So when you get sent back to the people that speak the same language as you, guess what? No key to the city. Not going to come. You're not going to be put up in the Hilton. You're going to be put in the county jail most times. And listen, you're going to be dealing with people that speak just like you. It's not going to be that they didn't understand you and that's what they got mad about. It's going to be because they did understand. But Jesus said there's not going to be no honor there in that country. And there's not going to be no honor in your own house. So he said there for a fact, he said, you're not getting sent to people of strange speech and strange language. Jesus said he wasn't going to have no honor, none whatsoever, in the place where he is called there, nor in his own house. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, verse 4, the Bible says this. Jesus is the same passage, parallel passage of Scripture over here, parallel thing, says, but Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. So not only are you not going to have no honor in the place you serving there at has been preaching to, now your family that you live with in your own house ain't going to listen to you, and neither is anybody that's blood kin to you. You know why that is? They're going to say, oh, I remember you and you was in little diapers. You was a cute little thing. Well, thus saith the Lord. Ain't he cute when he says that? That's it. All these people want to be from Gaffney, be called to Gaffney, or if you're from Spartanburg, think God's going to call you Spartanburg, here's your future. No honor. No honor whatsoever. The people you minister to, listen, they're going to understand you. Luke chapter number 4, verse 24. The Bible says this. Ain't we having fun tonight? Luke chapter 4, verse 24, the Bible says, and he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. What do you mean I can't join the local ministerial association? Oh, we don't like you. Did you misunderstand something? No, we understood everything fine. You said that you was against Christian music. No, I said I was against contemporary Christian music. I'm not against the thing in that hymn book, the way it's played and the way it's sang. Right. Amen. Listen, it's the faith of our fathers. That's a Catholic song.
Well, amen.
Amen. Jesus speaking. They say, oh, preach Jesus. We're preaching Jesus right now. Half of you is lit up like a hen. Like somebody sprayed you that rain a while ago. John 4, verse 44. Here's the last one. It says, for Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country. So looking at all four Gospels, based on what he says over here, it looks like you're not called to the ministry of honor. Listen, Jesus said, beware when all men speak well of thee, especially if you in your own house, amongst your own kin, amongst your own country, and God's called you to preach. Now watch verse 6 in Ezekiel 3. Not too many people of a strange speech and a hard language, whose words thou canst not understand. Surely, had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto thee. He could have went down to Mexico and built First Baptist Church of Guadalupe down there and run the Catholics out of town. He could have went over to Rome, Italy, went over there, learned the Italian language, went over there and preached to them people. And the First Baptist of Naples and the First Baptist of Rome would have been over there flat, just doing well. But it says here, that ain't going to happen. But the house of Israel will not hearken to thee, for they will not hearken unto me. There's the problem. They won't listen to God. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. You go to study that hard-hearted, it's all the way through the Bible, the way people reject God through their heart. Verse 8, behold, I have made thy face strong against their faces, and thy forehead strong against their foreheads. As an adamant, harder than flint, have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. You ever wonder why I'm hard-headed? God had to make me that way to put up with you and listen. Why the sparks fly? Because you're hard-headed and I'm hard-headed. That's how she works. Listen, if you're going to get anything done for the Lord, you and amongst your own people, you got to be a little bit more hard-headed than they are. Look over chapter 37. Chapter 37. I'm going to preach to you tonight in the time we got left on the church boneyard. The church boneyard. Over in Ezekiel chapter 37, he's going to give prophetically a statement that's going to happen. The Davidic kingdom's getting back together, and he's going to do this thing like this. He's going to take, and he tells Ezekiel to go out there and prophesy to them bones out there. And we'll read a little bit of this in verse 1, Ezekiel 37. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God in these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews of flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the winds, thus saith the Lord God, come from these four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came upon them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Now, as we look at this thing, this is the church boneyard, and there's some bones. If we dug around Victory Baptist Church, we might find some of these bones tonight. You ready for these? I'm going to give you several of them. Not all of them, just several of them. Number one, the wishbone member. The wishbone member. The wishbone is too lazy to work. And like the 10 spies over there in the Exodus, like them 10 spies, they always find an excuse for not doing what God said. The wishbone member comes up like them guys. They said, Moses said, listen, you 12 people, you get down there, you spy out that land, you tell us what's going on, and come back, tell us, and we're going to know what to do. God told him prior to that thing, he said, when you go out there, he said, the watermelon's going to be as big as a Volkswagen, the grapes are going to be as big as basketballs, and all you got to do is go in there and I'll give it to you. 2 men come back, which is Joshua and Caleb. They said, Moses, you was right. They have watermelons down there as big as Volkswagens, the grapes as big as basketballs. He said, we got to go in there and take that thing. He said, I think we can set up a Reese's peanut butter factory because I spotted the peanuts down there and they're as big as a football. He said, I think we can do this thing. He said, I know that God's given this to us. You're right, man of God, we behind you. 10 guys said, oh my God, there's giants down there. There's these sons of Anak down there. They're huge. They're big as Shaquille O'Neal and we're scared to death of them. They lied. They lied. Made an excuse why we couldn't do what God said. What'd that cost old wishbone? 40 years wandered in the desert. God wiping out everybody, including Moses, except Joshua and Caleb. See, there's a lot of folks, they say, man, listen, y'all need to do this down at church. Y'all need to do that, but you're too lazy to do it, so you want somebody else to do it. You need to shut up. Listen, you a wishbone. Not like doing wishbones? Like to make a wish. So next one does that. Brother Kirk's going to get one side, we get the other, we're going to pull. Whoever gets the biggest end gets to keep you. Alright. Here's another one. We spotted these in the text. These are the dry bone church members. Dry bone church members. There's two things you never catch the dry bone doing. Number one, saying amen. They won't shout when you sing Jesus loves me. They won't shout it just as I am. They won't shout at any of that stuff. And if you preach and say God blesses the saved people, they'll still sit there dry as a bone. Second, the thing that you'll never catch this crowd doing is crying. They will not shed a tear over lost relatives, lost friends, lost co-workers. You can preach on hell and it hot, and the punishment and the wrath of God being on everybody in it is prepared for the devil and his angels. And then Christ says everybody rejects him, goes there, and to everlasting punishment. And you preach on that, and not one tear roll down their face about their relatives. Not one. Not about their friends, not about their co-workers, anybody. Why? They old dry bones. They're like that elder brother over in Luke chapter 15. You know what happened to him? He is a dry bone member. What happened to him? He come rolling in there one day and he heard that his little brother had come back and he saw that his father had put that ring on his hand and wrapped him in that garment and everything and threw him a party. You know what he said? He said, "Ain't nobody ever threw me no party. Ain't nobody ever give me no ring." Hey, you know what happens when you run into people like that? They just old dry bone. They just old dry bone. I had a fella sit here and tell me in this church one time, I had celebrated graduating college or something, and I don't know if his church bought me a suit or what it was. That's something I got, and I got my ring. It was from Casey Creek. It was a silver one. And boy, I tell you what, that guy said, "I wish somebody would buy me a suit and give me a ring." Old dry bone. Old dry bone. Then we got this other type of church member. Some of you can relate with this one, too. It's called the jawbone church member. And there's two types of these. One's that bragging type. That bragging type, like Simon Peter. Simon Peter was found always bragging. He was a good jawbone member till he got born again.
Right.
Amen. Then he'd brag. "Oh, they ain't going to take you, Lord. Over my dead body, they're going to take you." They took him.
Yeah.
"Peter, you going to deny me?" "Oh, no, Lord, I won't deny you." My favorite thing to hear, back at the back door, we're shaking hands, "Preacher, we love you. You the best preacher we ever heard. There's none like unto thee." There's none more eloquent, none more with the more power of God on. So that lady's offended. She's already rolling it out. Look at that. They'll go in there and they'll come by me and shake my hand and tell me all this other stuff. And that'll be the last time I ever see them. When I hear about them again, they've been talking about me like a dog.
Yep. Come on.
How'd that happen? I'm going to tell you how it happened. They talked about the preacher before me like that, and the preacher before him like that, and the preacher before him like that, and the preacher before him. You see where I'm going with this? Listen, there's one thing all in common. They can't take the preaching, and they can't take being told no. All that bragging. The second type of this jawbone is these church gossips. They always sow discord amongst the brethren. Listen, here's an announcement for you. I don't know if I need to put this in the bulletin or not, make it official. In the bylaws, I think it does say in the bylaws, but it does say it in the Bible, so it overrules both them. That if you have a problem with somebody, and we're going to use me as an example. Let's say you have a problem with me. Your deal is not to go put it all over Facebook and Twitter and hashtag I hate Greg Little and all this other stuff. Okay? Your deal is to come to me and tell me about it. And if you can't get me squared away with you in the Bible, then you need to tell this church about it.
Right.
And then they'll take care of it. But see, that ain't just the pastor. That's every one of us.
Right.
And anybody who's born again and says, "Hey, I'm going to heaven when I die. I've accepted Christ as my Savior. I'm not perfect." You know how people make excuses for themselves. Well, we already knew that. You didn't even have to tell us. But listen, if you have a problem with a brother in Christ, sister in Christ, you're supposed to go to him.
Right.
That's all you got to do is just go to him.
Amen.
99% of all that stuff will be stopped right there. But instead of doing that, what we do is we say, "Listen, I've got a problem with the preacher. I think he preaches too long, too short, too fat, too skinny, whatever it is." And instead of telling me, they'll tell 10 of y'all. And before long, they got a clique together. And before long, they find out that another member of their clique has a problem with Brother Kirsch. Another guy in that clique has a problem with Brother Red. Another member of that clique has a problem with Brother Dean. Before long, we got all these people with all these problems. And then one of them stands up and says, "I don't like Ben Atkins either." And one other guy said, "I hate to admit it, but I hate Rick Wilkerson." And then after the guy says all that. Now they've got a bunch of disgruntled stuff they've been carrying. They're walking around in sin because they're walking around in unforgiveness. And then all of a sudden, that old jawbone member can just about split the church that way. You say, "I don't believe that." Wonder why there's 60-something, 70-something Baptist churches in this town. Oh, if they'd be honest, they'd tell you. Well, we did have a church. We was part of Park Hills or Limestone or whatever, you know. We was part of First Baptist, East Gaffney. They'll name off 10 of them they used to be part of.
Yeah.
What happened? Well, you know, we couldn't get along there. A lot of unforgiveness going on. James calls that gossiping crowd. He says they got a tongue that's set on fire. You know where the fire comes from? Not this direction, this direction.
Right.
But listen to this. There's a couple other type of members you need to hear about. We might find some of them here. One's a kneebone church member. You know who that is? That's you. That's the Wednesday night crowd. A kneebone member. So what's that got to do with praying, man?
Right.
Hey, no better service in the week than to walk in on a Wednesday night and get down here and pray amongst God's people. I know some of you too good to bend down, and some of you can't. You help, if your health is the problem, I'm not talking to you. But you that's too good to come to this altar, I got news for you. One day you wish that knee had hit that floor.
Right.
I heard an old preacher tell me one time he had knee surgery and told me he'd never be able to bend down again. He said he regretted all the times he prayed standing up. I've never forgot that. Hey, listen, there'll come a time you want to be a kneebone member. You can't be, but for those of you that are kneebone members, thank you for your faithful prayers. Thank you for praying. Thank you for being faithful to Christ and His church and for praying for the ministry, the service, the work, the finances, and everything it takes to keep this thing going. God bless you. And then there's another type of member we might find here tonight. These type are only found amongst the kneebone members. They're the backbone members. And these Christians are Christians with real convictions. You know who they are? They're the ones that says this. I don't care if my job says I got to be such and such. I'm not taking a job that's going to take me out of church. That's conviction. When somebody comes along and you have, if your ox is in a ditch, I understand. If a man was, if he was headed somewhere, I remember that guy down here with the trailer. Remember the tree fell over on his trailer and all that stuff? Y'all remember that down here on Bounds Road? Listen, if people see something like that and you stop and help that on your way to church, I'd understand that. But usually that's just not the case. You know what a backbone member does? He'd help that guy. But here's what a backbone member does. He'd come on to church and he got done. If he didn't make it in time, he'd let people know where he's at. There's some people in this world that's about to take churches. And they claim that they call to God to preach. And they won't even let their pastor know where they at when they're laying out of church. If you're in this ministry and I've ordained you, I'm on papers back if you start laying out. That's not a threat.
Right.
Listen, that whole thing about being accountable, that starts at a local church. And anybody who goes out as a missionary, a preacher, an evangelist, listen, when you go out from these doors, you are representing us.
Right.
And if you're too sorry to come to church, let somebody know where you at. We can fix that.
Right.
It's easily fixed. And when people come along and say, well, I don't have to give account to nobody. If you're going to be a backbone member, you do.
Right.
If you're going to be used to God in a great way, hey, listen, can you imagine how it makes me feel sometimes when I look up and I'm over yet?
Mom.
I ain't heard that you're sick. I ain't heard that you had your little toe broke.
Right.
I ain't heard all that. All I know is for that.
Right.
For that.
Yeah.
I bet I guess. Is Survivor on tonight? Is it the season finale? Oh, my goodness. Obama's going to be on TV. I can't miss what my president's got to say. Some of y'all look like guilty Democrats at a Republican convention. You know that. Wait a minute. What's that you watching? Oh, I can't let you see that, preacher. Click and turn that thing off right quick. I don't know, but you know.
Right.
But I know when you find a backbone church member, you'll find somebody like Paul will stand for the faith even though it'll cost him their life.
Right.
So, this is America. That'll never happen. Let me clue you in on something. I'd help you out. There's 1.8 billion Muslims in the world. All these little silver-tongued Muslims come around. They say, well, there's only a percentage of us that are radical Muslims. Now, get this. You know how much that percentage is? It's like 15 or 20% are actually radical Muslims. That'd be the entire country of Iran, most of Syria, and part of Iraq. That'd be just that group right there. Do you know that'd make up somewhere around 300 something million people? Guess what? Everybody in America don't total up to that. So if all the radical Muslims decided one day they want to come over here, you'd be dead. So what happened to all them peace-loving, them other 800 million of them? I'll tell you what happened to them. They'd become radical just like that. You know why? They read all out the same book and they believe the same thing. It's funny how them unradical Muslims, you know where they at? They all in America. In places like this. Or they're too poor to buy a gun, they throw rocks at people, they call that peaceful. Hey, listen to me. Hey. So that won't happen here. It can and it will. See, there's a lot of things about these backbone members. They like Stephen. They'll stand for the faith until the very end. I like what happened with Stephen over there. He knew he was going to die. He knew when they started biting on him he was going to die. But yet he stood the same there as he did in the previous chapter when they wasn't biting on him. That's a backbone. God help us to fill up with knee bones and backbones and get rid of the jaw bones and the wish bones and the dry bones and the tail bones and the head bones. You know what a head bone wants to do? Take the head in place of Christ. We don't need you. We got a head. His name's Jesus. Let's stand tonight with every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we love you.